Chapter 8 The Law of Progress. 776. Are the state of nature and the law of nature the same thing? No, the state of nature is the primitive state. Civilization is incompatible with the state of nature, while the law of nature contributes to the progress of the human race. 777. Man, in the state of nature, having few wants, escapes many of the tribulations he creates for himself in a state of greater advancement. What is to be thought of the opinion of those who regard the former state as being that of the most perfect felicity obtainable upon the earth? Such felicity is that of the brute, but there are persons who understand no other. It is being happy after the fashion of the brutes. Children, too, are happier than grown-up people. 778. Could mankind retrograde towards the slate of nature? No, mankind must progress unceasingly, and cannot return to the state of infancy. If men have to progress, it is because God so wills it. To suppose that they could retrograde towards the primitive condition would be to deny the law of progress. 779. Does man contain in himself the force that impels him onward in the path of progress, or is his progress only the product of instruction? Man is developed of himself, naturally. But all men do not progress at the same rate, nor in the same manner, and it is thus that most advances are made to help forward the others, through social contact. 780. Does moral progress always follow intellectual progress? It is a consequence of the latter, but does not always follow it immediately. How can intellectual progress lead to moral progress? By making man comprehend good and evil, he can then choose between them. The development of free will follows the development of the intelligence and increases the responsibility of human action. How comes it, then, that the most enlightened nations are often the most perverted? Complete and integral progress is the aim of existence, but nations, like individuals, only reach it step by step. Until the moral sense is developed in them, they may even employ their intelligence in doing evil. Moral sense and intellect are two forces which only arrive at equilibrium in the long run. 781. Has man the power of arresting the march of progress? No, but he has sometimes that of hindering it. What is to be thought of the men who attempt to arrest the march of progress, and to make the human race go backwards? They are wretched weaklings whom God will chastise. They will be overthrown by the torrent they have tried to arrest. 782. Are there not men who honestly obstruct progress while believing themselves to be helping it forward, because, judging the matter from their own point of view, they often regard as progress what is not really such? Yes, there are persons who push their little pebbles under the great wheel, but they will not keep it from going on. 783. Does the improvement of a human race always proceed by slow progression? There is the regular slow progress that inevitably results from the force of things, but, when a people does not advance quickly enough, God also prepares for it, from time to time, a physical or moral shock that hastens its transformation. 784. Man's perversity is very great. Does he not seem to be going back instead of advancing, at least, as regards morality? You are mistaken. Look at the human race as a whole, and you will see that it is advancing, for it has arrived at a clearer perception of what is evil, and every day witnesses the reform of some abuse. The excess of evil is required to show you the necessity of good and of reforms. 785. What is the greatest obstacle to progress? Pride and selfishness. I refer to moral progress, for intellectual progress is always going on, and would even seem, at the first glance, to give redoubled activity to those vices, by developing ambition and the love of riches, which, however, in their turn, stimulate man to the researches that enlighten his mind, for it is thus that all things are linked together, in the moral world as in the physical world, and that good is brought even out of evil. But this state of things will only last for a time, and will change, as men become aware of that, beyond the circle of terrestrial enjoyments, there is a happiness infinitely greater and infinitely more lasting. 786. History shows us many peoples who, after having been subjected to shocks that have overthrown their nationality, have relapsed into barbarism. What progress has there been made in such cases? When your house threatens to fall about your ears, you pull it down, in order to build another, stronger and more commodious, but, until the latter is built, there is trouble and confusion in your dwelling. Comprehend this also: you are poor and live in a hovel, you become rich, and quit the hovel to live in a palace. Then comes a poor devil, such as you formerly were, and takes possession of the hovel you have quitted, and he is a gainer by the move, for he was previously altogether without shelter. Learn from this that the spirits now incarnated in the people that you call degenerate are not those who composed that people in the time of its splendor. Those spirits, being of advanced degree, have gone to reside in nobler habitations, and have progressed, while others less advanced have taken their vacated places, which they too will vacate in their turn. 787. Are there not races that, by their nature, are incapable of progress? Yes, but they are day by day becoming annihilated corporeally. What will be the future fate of the souls that animate those races? They, like all others, will arrive at perfection by passing through other existences. God deprives no one of the general heritage. The most civilized men may, then, have been savages and cannibals? You, yourself, have been such, more than once, before becoming what you now are. 788. The various peoples are collective individualities that pass, like individuals, through infancy, manhood, and decrepitude. Does not this truth, attested by history, seem to imply that the most advanced peoples of this century will have their decline and their end, like those of antiquity? Those peoples that only live the life of the body, those whose greatness is founded only upon physical force and territorial extension, are born, grow, and die, because the strength of a people becomes exhausted like that of a man. Those whose selfish laws are opposed to the progress of enlightenment and of charity die, because light kills darkness, and charity kills selfishness. But there is for nations, as for individuals, the life of the soul, and those whose laws are in harmony with the eternal laws of the Creator will continue to live, and will be the guiding torch of the other nations. 789. Will progress ultimately unite all the peoples of the earth into a single nation? No, not into a single nation. That is impossible, because the diversities of climate give rise to diversities of habits and of needs that constitute diverse nationalities, each of which will always need laws appropriate to its special habits and needs. But charity knows nothing of latitudes, and makes no distinction between the various shades of human color, and when the law of God shall be everywhere the basis of human law, the law of charity will be practiced between nation and nation as between man and man, and all will then live in peace and happiness, because no one will attempt to wrong his neighbor, or to live at his expense. 790. Is civilization a progress, or, according to some philosophers, a decadence, of the human race? A progress, but incomplete. Mankind does not pass suddenly from infancy to the age of reason. Is it reasonable to condemn civilization? You should condemn those who misuse it, rather than condemn the work of God. 791. Will civilization be eventually purified, so that the evils caused by it will disappear? Yes, when man's moral nature shall be as fully developed as his intelligence. The fruit cannot come before the flower. 792. Why does not civilization produce at once all the good it is capable of producing? Because men are not as yet either ready or disposed to obtain that good. May it not be also because in creating new wants it excites new passions? Yes, and because all the faculties of a spirit do not progress together, everything takes time. You cannot expect perfect fruit from a civilization that is still incomplete. 793. By what signs shall we know when a civilization has reached its apogee? You will know it by its moral development. You believe yourselves to be considerably advanced, because you have made great discoveries and wonderful inventions, because you are better lodged and better clothed than the savages, but you will only have the right to call yourselves civilized when you have banished from your society the vices that dishonor it, and when you live among yourselves like brothers, practicing Christian charity. Until then, you are merely enlightened nations, having traversed only the first phase of civilization. 794. Would the laws of nature be sufficient for the regulation of human society, without the help of human laws? If the laws of nature were properly understood, and if men were willing to practice them, they would be sufficient. But society has its exigencies, and requires the cooperation of special laws. 795. What is the cause of the instability of human laws? In times of barbarism, the laws were made by the strongest, who framed them to their own advantage. It has therefore become necessary to modify them, as men have acquired a clearer comprehension of justice. Human laws will become more stable in proportion as they approach the standard of true justice, that is to say, in proportion as they are made for all, and become identified with natural law. 796. Is not the severity of penal legislation a necessity in the present state of society? A depraved state of society requires severe laws, but your laws, unhappily, aim rather at punishing wrongdoing when done, than at drying up the fountainhead of wrongdoing. It is only education that can reform mankind. When that is done, you will no longer acquire laws of the same severity. 797. How can the reform of human laws be brought about? It will be brought about by the force of things, and by the influence of the men of greater advancement who lead the world onward in the path of progress. It has already reformed many abuses, and it will reform many more. Wait. 798. Will Spiritism become the general belief, or will its acceptance remain confined to the few? It will certainly become the general belief, and will mark a new era in the history of the human race, because it belongs to the natural order of things, and because the time has come for it to be ranked among the branches of human knowledge. It will nevertheless have to withstand a good many violent attacks that will be prompted rather by interest than by conviction, for you must not lose sight of the fact that there are persons whose interest is to combat this belief, some from self-conceit, others from worldly considerations, but its opponents, finding themselves in the decreasing minority, will at length be obliged to rally to the general opinion, on pain of rendering themselves ridiculous. 799. In what way can Spiritism contribute to progress? By destroying materialism, which is one of the sores of society, and thus making men understand where their true interest lies. The future life being no longer veiled by doubt, men will understand more clearly that they can ensure the happiness of their future by their action in the present life. By destroying the prejudices of sects, castes, and colors, it teaches men the large solidarity that will, one day, unite them as brothers. 800. Is it not to be feared that Spiritism may fail to triumph over the carelessness of men and their attachment to material things? To suppose that any cause could transform mankind as by enchantment would show a very superficial knowledge of human nature. Ideas are modified little by little, according to the differences of individual character, and several generations are needed for the complete effacing of old habits. The transformation of mankind can therefore only be effected in the course of time, gradually, and by the contagion of example. With each new generation, a part of the veil is melted away, Spiritism is come to dissipate it entirely. But, meantime, if it should do no more than cure a man of a single defect, it would have led him to take a step forward, and would thus have done him great good, for the taking of this first step will render all his subsequent steps easier. 801. Why have not spirits taught, from the earliest times, what they are teaching at the present day? You do not teach to children what you teach to adults, and you do not give to a newborn babe the food which he could not digest. There is a time for all things. Spirits have taught many things that men have not understood or have perverted, but that they are now capable of understanding aright. Through their teaching in the past, however incomplete, They have prepared the ground to receive the seed which is now about to fructify. 802. Since Spiritism is to mark a progress on the part of the human race, why do not spirits hasten this progress by manifestations so general and so patent as to carry conviction to the most incredulous? You are always wanting miracles, but God sows miracles by handfuls under your feet, and yet you still have men who deny their existence. Did Christ himself convince his contemporaries by the prodigies he accomplished? Do you not see men, at this day, denying the most evident of facts, though occurring under their very eyes? Have you not among you some who say that they would not believe, even though they saw? No, it is not by prodigies that God wills to bring men back to the truth. He wills, in his goodness, to leave to them the merit of convincing themselves through the exercise of their reason.